Good morning, everyone. And a very warm welcome to our worship at Wesley Memorial Church this morning, whether you are joining us in person or joining us on Zoom. For those of you who are here in person, you may have noticed a certain lack of warmth this morning. I'm afraid the heating isn't working today, so I would suggest extra enthusiasm in the singing and feel free to dance to get yourself warmed up for the next bit of the service. So apologies for that, but hopefully that won't be too much of a distraction from the worship. Just a couple of extra announcements this morning. So firstly, we're delighted that Jack Sanger and his family have got a new son who has joined them this week, born on Thursday the 4th, so congratulations to them. You may also have noticed the large Christmas card over there. So we've had this for a number of years, a card which allows you to greet friends at Wesley Memorial by signing it. If you would like to sign the card, there is currently a pen there. We have lost at least one this morning already, so I would say after you've signed, please leave the pen there for the next person. Otherwise, I think that's it in terms of special notices, but as usual, we will have tea and coffee after the service through the doors to my left. Please do join us for that. And there is a junior church during the service, so if you are eligible for that, then again, follow the crowd through the doors to my left at the appropriate time. Otherwise, I'm delighted to welcome Joanna to lead our worship this morning. Joanna is a member of our church and also a local preacher on the Oxford circuit. So it's great to have you preaching to us this morning, Joanna, and over to you.
Thank you. And a very warm welcome from me to everybody here and to all the people on Zoom or otherwise managing to join in. Our theme today is that we are called as a community to be a gift or even a treasure to others. So I've chosen a call to worship from St. Paul in Eugene Peterson's The Message. Those of us who are strong and able in the faith need to step in and lend a hand to those who are weak or struggling, and not just do what is most convenient for us. Strength is for service, not status. Each one of us needs to ask ourselves, how can I help? Reach out and welcome one another to God's glory. Jesus did it. Now you follow. So we're going to welcome one another with the hymn, some numbers 409. Let us build a house where love can dwell.
Thank you.
remember something
special that we did last week that was different from usual? Any of you who were here? It's the second Sunday in Advent, and last week we saw a crown, and this week we see an orange in a stocking. Now, do you like orange? Are you keen on the colour orange? Do come up round here, because I'm going to show you some things. Well, first of all, the stocking, it had to be big because the thing that's inside it is quite big, and it's also quite fragile, so I'm going to take it out myself, if I can find the way in. This is what's inside this bit of the sari bag, which is what it really is. It's not really a stocking. I'd like to have a look at that. What do you think that is?
A box.
It's a box, yes. And what's it got on it? Well, it has got Jesus on it, but the one that we're looking for is the person who appears three times. See if you can find that person. Yes.
Which one are you looking for?
He's a man who wears clothes of a camel. Yeah, that's the main one. And there's another one there. And I think another one down here somewhere. Yeah. So what's inside the box? You'll find out later. It's quite a... Yeah, well, come if you wait. So, yes, this is John the Baptist. Now, do any of you know why we're talking about John the Baptist today on the second Sunday of Advent? No? John the Baptist was of Jesus to the Jordan River out in the desert, and first of all, he spoke to the people there, and he told them that they'd got to go and wash in the river, which is called what? Baptizing, that's right. They had to go and wash in the river, and then they had to start doing the things that God wanted them to do, not the things that they just wanted to do for themselves. So, what happened after that was that John the Baptist baptized Jesus, but that bit comes in next week's service. We have John the Baptist twice during Advent. We'll come back to John the Baptist later, but now, do you want to see what else is in this bag? Right. A stocking, yes, so... Carry on.
An orange!
Yes.
Another orange!
Yes.
What is it from? For next one's going to be in the hot one. Oh, it's
Right. So why do people put oranges in a stocking? What on earth for? Well, they might be. People used to put an orange in a stocking as a little extra that was fruity, nice to eat, because people used to do that because things were even more expensive then for people. Well, people didn't have much money, so that was their extra thing. But Jesus, who's coming to us at the end of Advent, isn't just another little thing. He's the greatest thing, that God has sent. You can eat it later. Now, the other thing I wanted to just mention briefly was fruits. What fruits do you like best?
Apple.
Mango.
Papaya.
Oh, papaya.
Bananas.
Bananas. Oh, that's a good choice here. Have you ever heard of the fruits of the Spirit?
Yeah.
You have. You all have. Marvellous. Oh, you've got a song too. Would you like to sing it to us? No. Okay. So if you were going to be doing what Jesus wants us to do and sharing the gift with everybody, what fruit of the Spirit would you like to use for that? I don't think that's one of the fruits of the Spirit. No. No. Do you know what the fruits of the Spirit are? Love, joy, peace, hope.
Self-control.
Oh, self-control, that's very important. That's what you're using at the moment to stop yourself from eating that orange. Okay, so when you go to your groups, you might like to look up the fruits of the Spirit. They're in Romans. No, they're not. What are they in, Edmund? I can't remember. Galatians 22. Yes, sorry. Galatians 22. So would any of the grown-ups like to fill in the different fruits of the Spirit? We've had love, joy, peace, patience. What else did we have? Faithfulness, yes. So what I want you to do is, with help if you need it, look up that passage and think about which of those fruits of the Spirit you would like to be this Christmas and what you would do for other people through having the fruits of the Spirit. Now the time comes to reveal what is in the box. Would you like to open it?
Jelly babies! Yep, yep, yep. Jelly babies!
So those are for you to take away and chew while you're thinking about the fruits of the Spirit.
Let's just take them away.
No, don't eat them. Are they rooty?
Okay. So take those with you when you go. And there's a little prayer. So I'm going to say, to round off, but first of all, we'll have the lighting of the Advent candles and the Advent liturgy.
Advent reminds us that we are people who share a story, the story of Jesus, who enacts peace by judging in favour of the poor and deciding with equity for the meek of the earth. We long for the day when the wolf shall live with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the kid, the calf and the lion will feed together, and a little child shall lead them. Today, we choose to live the story of peace, believing that true peace comes when we seek the flourishing of all God's creation.
We light this candle of peace as a sign of our commitment to bring light to the places the world seeks to hide, until that day when all creation lives together in harmony and abundance.
So now a little prayer. Round orange, you serve as a sign that God made the round world with purpose divine. The power of love is always the same. Be glad, give thanks, rejoice in God's name. Ripe fruits freely given, this truth you recall. When God hands out presents, they're meant for us all. The power of love is always the same. Be glad, give thanks, rejoice in God's name. Thank you, God, that you give us the greatest gift of all in Jesus. Now it's time for us to say to you, the Lord be with you. Now the choir are going to sing the anthem, Bring Not a Crown by David Birchall. Thank you. That was beautiful. Now we're going to hear our first reading from Psalm 72.
So this is the opening and closing sections of Psalm 72. Give the king your justice, O God, and your righteousness to a king's son. May he judge your people with righteousness and your poor with justice. May the mountains yield prosperity for the people and the hills in righteousness. May he defend the cause of the poor of the people, give deliverance to the needy, and crush the oppressor. May he live while the sun endures, and as long as the moon, throughout all generations. May he be like rain that falls on the mown grass, like showers that water the earth. In his days may righteousness flourish, and peace abound until the moon is no more. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, who alone does wondrous things. Blessed be his glorious name forever. May his glory fill the whole earth. Amen and amen.
Thank you, Claire. I'm dividing the sermon into two parts today. So the first part is a commentary on the psalm that you've just heard read. Those who hold power are called to be a gift to others. In verses 1 to 4 of this psalm, we find a vision for leadership shaped by justice and compassion. The king is not celebrated for his wealth or might, but for defending the poor, upholding justice and ending oppression. True authority, the psalm suggests, is only valid when it serves the most vulnerable and seeks the well-being of all. This is a challenge to every person or institution with influence, whether in politics, faith communities, workplaces, or homes. Power is not for self-preservation, but for service. It's a reminder to us too, as the church, we are called to be a gift to the world, not only as individuals, but as a justice-seeking, peace-making community. And so we do have power in ourselves, the power to speak, to act, to stand with those who are hurting, and to work for change. This wonderful psalm asks specifically for the blessing on the rule of King Solomon. Many of the psalms prior to this one call on God to bring retribution to the psalm writer's foes, sometimes in brutal ways. Psalm 72 is different. It's a very visionary psalm, asking for the grace to rule in a godly way, to rule with compassion and love. It gives a vision of a kingdom built on the principles of fairness and respect, of concern and protection for the vulnerable, a kingdom where the earth yields its fruit in abundance, and there is enough for all. The psalm calls on God to reign throughout this kingdom and mirrors what Jesus will later teach. Now a short prayer. Let us pray. God of grace, we long to live in a world of fairness, justice, and love. A world where no one is neglected and everyone has enough, where the earth is cared for and yields its abundance for the good of all, where wars are unknown and people live in harmony. And we believe this is your model for our living. Empower us so to love you that this becomes the new reality for our world. Your will be done. Your kingdom come. Amen. Now we'll sing the hymn, I Dream of a Church, which, if you're looking for it in a book, is in the Circuit Songbook at number 70. Now we come to our gospel reading, which is from Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 to 12.
In those days, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness of Judea, proclaiming, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." This is the one of whom the prophet Isaiah spoke when he said, "The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight." Now John wore clothing of camel's hair with a leather belt round his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then the people of Jerusalem and all Judea were going out to him, and all the region along the Jordan. And they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit of repentance, worthy of repentance. Do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now, the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and will gather his wheat into the granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire."
Thank you, Margaret. So the second part of my sermon today is a commentary on John the Baptist. John the Baptist comes preaching repentance, literally calling people to change the way they think. So what needs to change for us? Verse 8 gives us the heart of his message: bear fruit worthy of repentance. Matthew, twice later, uses the metaphor of a good tree that bears good fruit. The image of fruit might remind us of Proverbs 11:30. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and the wise capture souls. Fruit grows out of a fundamental disposition of the heart. Our lives can become life-giving for others, a source of blessing, nourishment, and hope. We can become in ourselves a gift to the world. If we're wondering what this fruit might look like, Paul's list in Galatians 5:22-23 gives us a good clue. And you all proved to me that you know the fruits of the Spirit, so I'm not going to say them all again now. But it's the kind of fruit everyone longs to receive, like the orange at the bottom of a traditional Christmas stocking. These are gifts that are familiar, but are nevertheless fresh and joyful. This is an opportunity to name the fruit growing in each other and to recognize each other as holy gifts. The food imagery continues with John's warning about winnowing. Just as an orange must be peeled before it can be enjoyed, grain must be threshed and winnowed before it becomes useful. In the ancient world, and in many parts of the world today, grain must be beaten and tossed into the air so that the chaff is carried away, leaving behind only what nourishes and sustains. This Advent, we are invited to take that image seriously. What in us needs to be cleared away? What coverings, distractions, or attitudes need to be stripped back? Can we let the wind of the Spirit move freely through us, removing all that is fruitless and leaving only what brings life? But it isn't only about us as humans, but the whole of creation. John the Baptist chose to go away to the wilderness rather than standing in the temple to preach repentance. And presence and connection were freely available in the air he breathed there and the water without which there couldn't have been a baptism. Baptismal actions show a deeper understanding of who God is and how God connects with us in each and every day, through the water all around us. We cannot live without it. We need to honour water, take care of it, and treat it with reverence and love. I'm sure we're all appalled by the dumping of many tons of waste in Kidlington, stifling the wildlife and the water itself. Further afield, there is a real crisis fueled by climate change and indifference, with 1,000 children a day dying from dirty drinking water or dirty utensils. There also, we need to change minds and always remember the fruitful abundance that sustains us. Lord Jesus, you are brighter than the moon, more powerful than the sun, more beautiful than the stars, and stronger than the wind. You are a spring of life-giving water that can make gardens in the desert. But we have despoiled your garden, wasted its beauty, and failed to love others as you love us. Take our frail lives and fill them with yourself, so that wherever we go, the parched land will become moist, flowers will unfold, and trees will bear fruit. Then there will be seen in us your brightness, your power, your beauty, and your strength. For in you are hidden all the secrets of heaven's wisdom and all its shining treasure. So where do you see examples, past or present, of people using their power as a gift to others? A lot of that goes on here in this church. But thinking more widely, what influence do you have at home, school, work, church, community? And how might you use it more intentionally for others' well-being? Repentance means reorientation. So John the Baptist calls people to repent, to reframe how they think and live. What might we need to change in our attitudes or assumptions for us to become a better gift to those around us? Are there habits, fears, or priorities that distract us from bearing fruit? Fruit that blesses others? Finally, which of the fruits of the Spirit do you see growing in yourself, or long to see more of? How can we reflect God's generosity and justice more visibly and practically this Advent? I'll give you a few moments to think about at least one of those possible actions we might take. Jesus is the fount of every blessing, so we sing hymn number 494 from Singing the Faith. Come, thou fount of every blessing. Now we come to our prayers of intercession and commitment. Let us pray. Let's start by closing our eyes and taking a few slow breaths. In and out. In and out. And as we do so, let's also pray silently for God's peace to fill our hearts and spread into our communities. As part of a worldwide family of Methodist and United Churches, we are invited to pray today for God's church across the continent of Africa. Gracious God, we thank you that your Spirit is at work in all parts of the world, bearing fruit even in the most difficult of circumstances. In the face of climate change, poverty, injustice, conflict and disaster, we see your church standing firm, a witness to your love and grace. May love guide the church as it walks alongside communities in pain. May joy be found even in the small victories. May peace reign where there is conflict, and may your Spirit empower leaders working for reconciliation and dialogue. Grant patience to those working tirelessly for change, often without recognition or immediate results. Let kindness overflow in acts of compassion. May goodness shine through sustainable farming, clean water with initiatives, and care for creation. Strengthen the Church's faithfulness as it continues to serve, teach, and worship you. May gentleness be present in every word and action, especially in places of trauma and loss. And may self-control guide decisions and leadership rooted in wisdom and humility. As members of the global body of Christ, help us to remain attentive to your wider world. Let the Spirit clear away what clutters and distracts, and shape each of us into a holy gift, a tree of life in a world hungry for hope. This is our calling. Bear fruit, be bold, be the gift. Amen. Now sing the hymn 175 in Singing the Faith. Light of the world, you came down into darkness. Now a little Advent hymn that I wrote, but I'm not going to sing it, I'm going to speak it. And at the end of that, we'll take up the offertory. where all was chaos and confusion, a sign of peace on earth was breathed. It spread across the silent waters where hopelessness and fear had seethed, where darkness dragged the people downwards, transforming light began to dawn. The bright red sun of God's compassion for hungry, sad, sick, and forlorn. Where heat and dust dried up the desert, the Baptist's urgent cry rang out. The kingdom's near, it's right upon us. Come now and turn yourselves about. Make straight the path of him who's coming, Messiah, long expected Lord. He brings God's peace, light, hope, compassion, and speaks God's purpose in a word. We thank you for your glorious creation, Lord, for the treasure and the love that you have given us. Accept what we bring you now as a symbol of our readiness to bear fruit for you, that blessing and peace may increase and the waters be cleansed. We pray it for Jesus' sake. Did I forget to say that we were taking up the offertory? Thank you, Lord, for all that you are to us, all that you give us, all the wonderful things around us. Please accept what we bring you now, not just as money, but with it we bring our likes and dislikes, our talents and our own gifts given to us by you to share with the world. Amen. Our final hymn is number 172 in Singing the Faith, Hills of the North Rejoice.
Thank you.
go out into the world to walk in God's light, to rejoice in God's love, and to reflect God's glory. And we share together the words of the grace. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.